The Mitchell's Front Page Podcast is brought to you by Geelong Bank. Listen live on 94.7 The Pulse, Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11.
Dr. Timothy Jackson from the University of Melbourne, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
No, thank you for coming on the program to share some of your expertise. First of all, is this actually snake season? Is this the time that we're most likely to see snakes out and about?
Yeah, snakes are starting to get on the move again now. It's obviously getting a little bit warmer, which I think most of us in the Melbourne region are very pleased about. And yeah, with this warming up temperatures, the snakes are starting to move again. They've been brumating during the winter, so they've been much less active, not actually hibernating, but not feeding. And now they're getting on the move. Male snakes are out and about looking for female snakes. They're starting to look for a feed. And it's certainly the case that they're on the move. I actually saw a tiger snake just on the weekend, just near my house. So,
wow. So where are snakes most likely to be seen? Is it most likely in long grass or other places?
Well, we tend not to see them when they're in long grass. I mean, snakes are absolute masters of hiding. They're very cryptic animals, we would say, and they don't want to be seen. So we're actually most likely to see them when they cross paths, cross roads, maybe inadvertently enter our backyards, that sort of thing.
So we've got a walking trail here around the Barwon River, and I know people have seen snakes there quite repeatedly on that walking trail. It's quite popular with cyclists and walkers. So if you're walking down that path or cycling and you see a snake on the path ahead of you, what should you do?
You should, you know, firstly feel lucky that you've actually seen the animal, seen an interesting part of the local fauna, and then, of course, you should just keep your distance and let the snake go about its business. Snakes really don't want anything to do with us. They don't want anything to do with our pets either. From the perspective of a snake, of course, a very small animal in comparison to a human or even in comparison to an average dog, humans and dogs and, of course, cats are potential predators that they would rather avoid. So given the opportunity, snakes will move off the path, will go about their business and leave us alone. The main thing to do is to stay calm, not approach the snake, and certainly don't try to interfere with it in any way.
Yeah, it's funny you say luck is the first emotion you should feel. I've got a feeling that people may not be necessarily feeling lucky. I think fear might be the first thing. As you say, that might not be rational if the snake is so small and we're so big.
Yeah, look, absolutely. I mean, I always try to get that in there. Of course, I am a snake lover, and I realize that I'm very much in the minority. At the same time, I completely understand why people are afraid of snakes. Snakes are potentially dangerous animals, and certainly when it comes to pets and children who might interfere with the animals, not knowing the potential danger that's there, we do have to be very alert. We do have to be vigilant, but at the same time, we need to remain calm, and we just need to be sensible. We need to understand the risks in our environment and not overreact to them, but also not ignore them.
Someone told me that the vibrations on the ground upset snakes. Apparently, if you're walking and stamping your feet along, say, a bike track, that may set them off or cause them to become intimidated. Is that true? Should you, if you see a snake, sort of tread carefully and not try and make lots of noise on the ground?
Well, you might want to make a little bit more noise in the hope that they're going to move away. Again, their first response, if they do have the space, if they do have the opportunity, their first response to detecting the approach of a large animal like a human is going to be to move away. So you might be better off, if you don't want to see a snake, you might be better off, you know, walking a little bit more heavily, making a little bit more noise. They don't have external ears, of course, but they are sensitive to both airborne vibrations and vibrations through the ground, as you've mentioned. And again, those stimuli, when they pick up those sorts of signals, that's going to make them want to move away. It's not going to make them come at you aggressively or anything like that.
Well, that was sort of my next question, which is, what causes a snake to bite you? Is it when they feel threatened? I mean, do they actually come at you and charge at you? Can we dispel some of those myths, if they are in fact myths?
They're almost exclusively myths. I mean, animals, including snakes, will occasionally do things that are very unusual. They are very unpredictable. They have minds of their own. But for the most part, snakes, again, are going to move away given the opportunity. Snakes chasing people, snakes coming at people in a completely unprovoked manner, those are largely myths. Now, most snake bites occur because snakes, again, they perceive humans as a potential predator, and from their perspective, the bite is defensive. So in many cases, we might have inadvertently interacted with them. We haven't intended to interact with them. It's not the case that most bites occur when people are trying to catch snakes or kill them, although a certain percentage of bites do occur in those circumstances. But it might happen when somebody treads on a snake that they didn't see in the grass. And of course, the snake's response to that is to perceive an attack and to bite in defense. Or perhaps if you were gardening or working with your hands in dense vegetation, possibly putting your hand on the snake or that sort of thing. Occasionally, when snakes are cornered, so say you had a snake in the chook shed or something like that, maybe it's in there either looking for baby chickens or perhaps for rodents that might be in there. Perhaps if the snake is cornered, it doesn't see any way out except past you. Occasionally, people do get bitten in those sorts of circumstances. And there's a subset of bites which really don't happen in Australia, and we're very lucky for that, but it is worth mentioning. There is a subset of bites that happen more in India and in sub-Saharan Africa where snakes actually bite people while they're sleeping. And we don't fully understand the circumstances there, whether snakes are entering homes looking for a feed or maybe looking for some warmth. Perhaps people accidentally roll over onto the snake. Ooh. Or perhaps the snake just smells a large mammal, gets a little bit confused about the signals and takes an exploratory bite. But thankfully in Australia, we don't have that sort of situation.
Well, that is good news. If a snake bites you, what should you do? Because you mentioned a tiger snake. I'm assuming that there's obviously different types of snakes, obviously, but different types of venom, and then the severity of the bite as a result is going to vary. So what should be your first reaction if you were, say, out walking down the river and a snake bites you?
Well, first reaction, and again, it's one of these things that's easier to say than to do if you have been bitten by a snake, but first reaction is to stay calm. Panicking is not going to help you. In fact, it's going to make your situation worse. There are a number of different species of snakes in the sort of greater Melbourne region and in southern Victoria. Tiger snakes are the most common thing in suburban Melbourne. We also have brown snakes in the rural areas, and then there are copperheads around as well. And those are the three main species that might cause a bite. So after remaining calm or whilst continuing to remain calm, the next step we say is to apply a compression bandage. So ideally, if you are out bushwalking or if you're working in areas where there might be snakes, you should have a first aid kit with you. And part of that first aid kit should be a pressure immobilization bandage. Now, what you want to do with that bandage, which will also help you if you sprain your ankle or sprain your wrist, what you want to do with that is you want to apply it to the bitten limb. Snake bite almost invariably occurs on the limbs in Australia. You want to apply it from the tip of the bitten limb all the way up to the armpit or to the groin, at it basically as tight as possible without constricting blood flow. So you do a little test on the fingers or on the toes by pressing, seeing the color drain out. The tip of the finger will go white as you press it, but then the capillary bed should fill again. Blood should return to that area. That ensures that you've still got circulation. Then your next step, again, immobilization is very important, so you want to stay as still as possible. So hopefully you've either got a phone with you or you've got somebody with you that can go for help. But your next step, of course, is to get to hospital in the quickest way possible. And once you're in hospital, we have very, very effective anti-venom in Australia. We have doctors who in many areas are quite experienced with snake bites. So we have a very, very low, what we call a case fatality rate in Australia. When people are bitten, when they do the right thing, they almost never die.
If I was out walking around the river, what species of snake would I be most likely to see?
Probably tiger snakes. They often are associated with water. They're generalist feeders, as are brown snakes, so you may also see a brown snake, but tiger snakes love frogs. They also love birds. They'll feed on nestling birds. And they're a very common species in the sort of greater Melbourne region and out towards Geelong and yeah, they're probably the most common species we have.
Are they particularly venomous, the tiger snakes?
They are. Their bite is certainly capable of being life-threatening, and they have killed people. So they are, I mean, from our perspective, they're a very venomous snake, yes. They're not as responsible Australia-wide for as many bites, as many serious bites or fatalities as the brown snakes, which are the number one offenders in Australia. The tiger snakes are probably second on that list. And that's just a factor of them being common in areas with relatively high human population density by Australian standards as well.
And if you see that snake in the chook shed or around the chook shed or in your backyard, what should you do? I'm guessing stay away and call the experts in.
Yes, ideally, yeah. I mean, the main thing to do, again, is to just leave them alone. And if you do need them gone in a timely manner, there are various snake catchers that operate around Victoria. And you can just Google, you know, snake catcher for your local area, and you'll be able to find a number. Someone who's a professional, someone who has a permit, who's done a course on venomous snake relocation and has thereby been licensed, and they can come and remove that animal for you. The likelihood is, though, that if you don't have access to a snake catcher, if you just leave that animal alone, the likelihood is you come back the next day, you won't see it again.
What do they normally eat if they're around your backyard? What are they sort of searching for in terms of food sources?
Well, the large venomous snakes that we have in Victoria, again, predominantly the tiger snakes and brown snakes, are really generalists, so they will eat anything that they can catch and overpower. If they're hanging around the chook shed or in your backyard, there's a good chance that they're looking for rodents or perhaps for the chicks themselves, or they will also eat chicken eggs. Rodents are a big favourite, particularly of brown snakes. But then, you know, they eat frogs, they eat lizards, whatever they can get.
Yeah, very interesting. Do you want to give us your final top tips for what people need to know about snakes?
Well, just following on from that last point, in order to discourage snakes from entering your backyard or coming into close proximity of your house, best thing to do is to clean up the yard. If you've got a lot of detritus, if you've got a lot of mess, a lot of rubbish lying around, that's a great environment for snakes. It's also a great environment for rodents, of course, which, again, are one of the reasons why the snakes might be there. But just remember, snakes, they don't like to come out into the open. So when you see snakes, they tend to be in the open because that's why you're seeing them. They might be out basking in the sun or just quickly crossing a road or something like that. But for the most part, they like to stay hidden. So if you have nice open spaces in your yard or open spaces around the house, that's going to discourage snakes from coming too close. Whereas, again, if you have piles of rubbish, you're making a nice snake habitat there. Wood piles, piles of bricks, whatever they might be, better to put them a little bit further away from the house and keep it clear around them as well. And in that way, you're just reducing the risk that snakes are going to be in and around your home.
Final question for those of us that are scared of snakes. When does snake season end?
I guess snake season, so to speak, will end at the end of autumn. I mean, here in the southern part of the country, snakes are really almost completely inactive during winter. I mean, they will come out and bask on nice sunny days, but they don't go too far from where they live, where they're hiding for most of the winter, and they're not feeding. So you're much less likely to see them during that time of the year unless you're actually out looking for them basking. So I suppose we've got
it's only 8 to 10 months to go.
Yes, basically, yeah.
Thanks so much for being on the program. A really good conversation.
Absolutely, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Dr. Timothy Jackson there from the University of Melbourne, talking about snake season. And at least, despite what he says, be thankful that we don't live in India where the snakes come into your house while you're sleeping and try and bite you while you're asleep and they can't work out why that is.
The Mitchell's Front Page Podcast is brought to you by Geelong Bank. Listen live on 94.7 The Pulse, Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11. Or search for Mitchell's Front Page on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or wherever you get your podcasts.